This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever begin with the praise and the thanks of Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And we send our love and our greetings, our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam To his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah till the end of time We make dua for all the oppressed people of the world We make dua for the people of Gaza We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us victory Ameen wa alhamdulillah How many wars How many genocides and massacres have been done with a smile on the face? Have been done with the worst of actions, the worst of brutality, and the perpetrator doesn't feel like he's done anything wrong. In fact, he feels, I'm doing a righteous killing. I'm killing in the name of God. I'm killing because God wants me to kill. And we take a Chronicles, we open the books of history. When the Crusaders invaded Jerusalem from the Muslims, this army, the Pope had called for a crusade, a holy war in the name of God. We must go and we must liberate and save. And in the name of God, we must go and liberate the Holy Land. And these armies of Europe left because the religious people, Maulana, sheikhs, priests, had called for it. And people became worked up. They marched to Jerusalem and they invaded the city at a time when the Muslims were very weak. And they were not focused, and they committed a massacre, a genocide, killing the residents of the city. The historian that was with, this is a crusader himself, not a Muslim historian. He says, shall we relate what took place at the temple of Solomon? She says, do you really want me to tell you what we did? So he said, if we told you, you would not believe us. It's too horrible. It's too, and he doesn't say it in a way of guilt. He's saying it's too much for me to tell you. But it is sufficient for me to say that at the Temple of Solomon, we rode through the streets with the blood running through the streets up until the knees of our horses. There were rivers of blood in the city of Jerusalem. This is what the chroniclers say. That we spared nobody, not a man, not a woman, not a child, and the stench of the corpses stayed in the city for 5 months. These were not just Muslims that they killed. They killed Muslims. They killed Jews. They even killed Christians that were not of the same denomination. And when they did this, they did it with a smile on their face. And they did it believing full well we've done something righteous. We've done something amazing. That God loves us. And so therefore, it's an interesting question. Something goes wrong in these kind of conflicts or these kind of tensions where a person loses all sense of morality and right and wrong. And that you do the worst crimes believing that Allah or God is on your side. And many genocides have occurred. And of course, perhaps the most traumatic one in living memory is the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were gassed, massacred. And we must also think about this, that yes, perhaps on top you had Hitler, and you had an extremely racist, an extremely crazy group of people. But to do the killing of 6 million old people, children, disabled people, to put them in an oven and gas them to death. It required thousands and thousands of soldiers, thousands of engineers building these gas chambers, people putting the switch. How does ordinary people who wake up in the morning, kiss their wife and kids, drop the kids at school, drive to work, you go into the concentration camp, and you putting in, oh, it's my turn for the shift, I'm going to put 1,000 people into the gas chamber and I'm going to turn the switch on, and you leave after 5 o'clock and go back to your family and kids, and it doesn't bother you. How does this happen? Ordinary people. And this is not, it didn't only happen once or twice, it seems to happen again and again. And at the end of the Holocaust, the world, when it sort of after the end of World War II, it said never again. Humanity can't do this again. We have now reached such a low level that we see how bad it is, it will not happen again. But of course, in the last 50, 60 years, it's happened again and again and again. And we can list them, the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, what happened in Iraq, Bosnia we spoke about, Rwanda, subhanAllah, with, you know, gassing people, maybe you're not, you're putting them in and you close the doors and that's it. In Rwanda, people took machetes and hacked 1 million people in a week. You know, you're physically going out and murdering your neighbors. How do you do this? You lived side by side for generations, and overnight, propaganda and politics and priests and politicians stir you up, and you go into your neighbor's house and you stab him, his wife, his children into pieces, and you move on. And you don't feel bad about it? The Rohingya, and subhanAllah, as strange as it seems, today, we would have thought, okay, we would have thought back then, okay, it happened in some village, no one knew about it. This is the first genocide in history being done live streamed on social media. We are seeing it blow for blow, child for child. And so really, when we look at the past, we think that's them, that's not us. Our humanity won't allow something like that. But humanity continues to prove how fragile it is and how low it can get. And we're seeing it happen again. And that is why, there's a very famous quote from Nelson Mandela, he says, the oppressor and the oppressed lose their humanity, they are robbed of the humanity. For you to kill another person, yes, the person who is killed lost his life, but for you to become the killer, to become the oppressor, you also lose your status as a human somehow. And how does that happen? So let's talk more about this. What is the psychology of genocide? And am I, and today's lecture is, can I be on the wrong side of it? Because every oppressor, everyone committing genocide believes I'm doing the right thing. Is it possible that I could be on the wrong side? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on a campaign, and the Sahaba, the most blessed generation, had an argument. And the Muslims of Mecca and the Muslims of Medina had a tussle. And the one said, oh Ansar, oh people of Medina, help me. And the other said, oh Muhajirin, oh people of Mecca, help me. Ansar and Muhajirin are praiseworthy titles which Allah uses in the Quran. And so then the Prophet heard this. And he said, you're calling, so now it's a them and us. Oh, because my team is fighting, I support them. I don't even know what we're fighting about, but because it's my team, my side, I'm going to support you. I'm going to jump in, I'm going to fight, and it's a them. And when the Nabi heard this, he said, what are these titles or calls of Jahiliyyah? As we said, to be called Muhajirin and Ansar is a great title. Allah praises them. But the Nabi says, this is the title of Jahiliyyah. This is a call of Jahiliyyah. It's a them and us. We must fight. And he said, and then the Sahaba, when the Nabi calmed them down, he said, what is going on here? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, two boys were fighting and one kicked the other one. So subhanAllah, two boys, two teenagers, one person from Mecca, one person from Medina, like boys would fight. And then the one said, guys, help me, my team, where's my friends, where's the Muhajirin? And they jumped in, and now you have Sahaba, great companions, are fighting, punching each other. What happens? In this kind of partisan, polarized, me versus you dimension, we lose our sense of what is right and wrong, our sense of rationality, and this is how you can commit the most evil of oppression. And so the Nabi says, let a man help his brother, whether he is wrong or whether he is wronged, whether he's the oppressed or the oppressor, you must help your brother, whether he's being oppressed or he's the oppressor. If he's being oppressed by someone else, then you support him. And if he is being the oppressor, you help him by stopping him. If the table, and this is what we need to ask ourselves, when we see oppression, are we only vocal when it's our side being oppressed? Can we be as firm for justice when it's against ourselves, our own people, our own religion? And this is requires, this is what it means to be just, even against yourself. And if we think about this, subhanAllah, how low humanity can go, Allah tells us in the Quran, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask the baby girls who were buried alive, for what crime were you killed? Why, oh baby, were you buried alive? Were you murdered? You must have done something wrong to be murdered. The Qurayshis, in their society, in their culture, in their propaganda, they, of course, believed that it was good, it was noble, it was honorable, that if you, your wife gave birth to a baby girl, if you were a real man, you would not only kill that child, you would kill her in a way that is really gruesome by burying that child alive. And some Sahaba, when they became Muslim, when obviously after Jahiliyyah, they explained how we would dig the hole and the child would cry. And we'd put this child in the hole and then cover its face. And as, of course, it's coughing and coughing and then suffocating. Now, as gruesome as this is, the real ajib thing is, it is your fitrah, it is your DNA. You don't have to believe in anything to protect your child. Even an animal protects its child. How do you go about killing your own children? So Allah is showing that mankind can get to such a low point, and you can commit such terrible crimes, and you can be convinced of committing such evil, that even the most unthinkable thing is possible. And that's why it's so dangerous in the time that we live, in the age that we live, with all the social media around us, with all the callers calling different things, that you and I are not immune to this. So today, as we see more and more children being bombed and killed, we ask, how do you justify this? And there's very much, we know that there are those who are pro-Palestine and pro-Israel. There are those in the conflict, the Israelis and the Palestinians, or in the genocide. And those are on the observers on the outside, whether it's our friends and neighbors, they've taken a side, we've taken a position. And so, if you ask the other side, because from my perspective, I know which side is bleeding. I know which side is dying. I can see which side is being pulled out of the rubble. And so when you ask and you have an open conversation with the pro-Israeli side, how do you justify this? How are you comfortable at night supporting someone that does this? And some of the rationale, we list some of the rationale, and obviously with a case of debunking it. One of it is, what we're doing, we are on the right because God is with us. I have made a moral superiority. We are doing God's will. We are doing this in the name of God. And this has been an age-old lie. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He never is on the side of killing. Allah is never on the side of injustice. Don't bring Allah into this equation. If your God and your religion allows you to kill babies and children, there's something wrong with your religion, there's something wrong with your God. So, number one, when you look at, and I've listened to a lot of the priests and the people who are encouraging you to support Israel and going forward, how does model people, people that go to church and they worship and they, on the same breath, they will say, we need to donate because the shelter for the homeless and the animals and the dogs, we need to look, and then we need to support Israel because they, and you're bombing children. How does your mind rationalize that? And these are the rationalities. Because God is on our side, we've already chosen. The one side is the side of God, and the other side must be the bad guys, so we can do it. Justification. This is our right to do it. You'd find many times people who commit crimes, I have the right to steal. You have this feeling, it is mine. And they would mention that because we have the right to the land, based on your religion, you can do whatever you want. You can kill whomever you want. And it's, and to the, to part of the propaganda, and this is to give support to those who are not so 100%. Look, we have to do this because it's a them or us. If we don't kill them, they're going to kill us. We are the victims. We are under threat. That it's a necessary evil. If we don't kill these Palestinian babies, they're going to grow up and kill us one day. So it's not an aggression. You're justifying it as a sense of self-defense. And one of the key things that you do in, you see in a genocide, and this is what we spoke about last week, the statements, you have to dehumanize the other side. You see, it's very difficult. If I come to you on the street, just cold, and I say, I'm going to kill this baby. Are you okay with it? You'll say, oh, no ways. You can't do that. I don't even know that. I don't need to know the story. I don't need to know but or what or how. There's no scenario where you killing a, you, a grown man, can drop a bomb on a baby, or an ICU of newborn babies, there's no scenario where I can say it's okay. There's no justification. But if I say, I need to kill this rat or this cockroach, are you okay with that? Yeah, go ahead. It's a cockroach. It's a pest. And that's why you'd see the language before genocide. You're not killing human beings. We're all against killing human, but these are not human beings. These are animals. This is exactly what the Israeli minister said. These are savages. These are barbarians. And this is the same justification that the church used when they invaded the rest of the world. So you ask, how is it that you people, so religious and pious, you come from Europe and you gather millions of Africans on ships as slaves, you throw them overboard when the ship is overcrowded, you massacre the Aborigines, you massacre the indigenous Americans. How do you worship God with all that blood on your hands? Because these are not people. We are massacring insects because we are superior. This is part of the ideology. And if your ideology dehumanizes another human being, then there's something very wrong. There's something sick about your ideology. Any ideology that is based on ethnic supremacy, that God in his nature is racist, he chooses a group of people and they are special. No matter what they do to the rest of the world, it's okay. Then there's something wrong with your God or your understanding of God. And of course, behind all of this, there must be propaganda. And this is the danger. We are all being fed propaganda from different sides. Sitting here, it's propaganda. I'm giving you a view. And it's very difficult to be objective and know what is right or wrong as we move towards the age of Dajjal. And that's another conversation for another time. Where Dajjal is not the Antichrist in the translation. Dajjal is deception. Not knowing truth from falsehood. Not being able to know the facts. This is going to be the trick of Dajjal. People will not know. Up from down. And so propaganda and the voices is becoming more savvy so that you don't know what is right. What we can say, or canceling all the noise, Allah says very clearly, if you want to know who Allah is, Allah says, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, when they commit immorality, when they do something wrong, قَالُوا, they said, وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا, that our forefathers, we are just doing what our people have always done. This is the justification. We are following our side. وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا, and Allah, God commanded us to do this. We are doing it in the name of God. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ, Allah says, say to them, God never ever commands you to do evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never on the side of evil. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. If you're a Muslim and you are committing the genocide, Allah's not on your side. And this is so beautiful in Islam. Justice, morality transcends religion. Knowing what is right and wrong, we're going to go through the verses and the hadith. Knowing what is right and wrong, you don't need to be a religious person. You don't need to be a Muslim to know what is right. You can even be an atheist and you know it is wrong for me to kill children. Allah says, أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون, are you speaking on behalf of Allah that you do not know? Allah mentions to us, and I must mention this, there was a march, I think on Sunday, and there was altercations, and again, there's always facts, and you know, there was a protest in favor of Israel, and there were people came there to respond to them. Okay, everyone has the right to protest, whatever your sides are, even if you're wrong, you can come and protest. And then there was an altercation. And people want to know, what is the stance of Muslims, or what is the stance of us? Very clearly, Islam says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا, let not your hatred of a people cause you to commit injustice. اعْدِلُوا وَأَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, be just, for that is the right thing to do. When you are angry, when you have hatred for somebody, it's easy for you to cross the lines of acceptability. If there are laws, you can't break the laws. If that person is within his rights, we give them their rights. Even though I disagree with you, you have the right to do your thing. But I disagree with you, and I will exercise my full rights. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, doesn't matter how angry you are, how upset you are, how eager you are, how much Hamas means zeal, you have in you. Do not cross the lines of being unjust. We as Muslims hold ourselves accountable to Allah's morality and Allah's line, Allah's divine. And subhanAllah, as you know, just something to think about. If they rape our women and murder our babies, when we have the upper hand, we don't do the same. Because we don't follow tit for a tat, we do what you do. No, no, no. We follow the line of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We follow the sunnah and of the Anbiya. This is what we hold ourselves to. So don't lose your humanity in this. We know on the other side, more for them, if you've got lots of blood on your hands, and you need to answer for when you wave that flag and you support that side, you are supporting the genocide and the massacre of thousands and thousands of babies, of hospitals and schools and churches and mosques. Let us not follow the same. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, do not be blind followers. Don't be someone that says, if people are good to me, then I'm good to you. If you support me, I support you. And if you do injustice, then we will do injustice to you. If you are wrong to me, I'm going to be wrong to you. And the Nabi says, no. Adjust yourself. Correct yourself. Be better. When people do good, then you do good. You in fact do better. And if they do wrong, then you should not do injustice. You can obviously resist. You can obviously defend yourself. But you cannot cross the line of what is wrong. And so the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at this. Look at this hadith, subhanAllah. And this hadith explains that even a Muslim who makes salah 5 times a day, who is pious and righteous, can cross the line with non-Muslims, which is haram. The Nabi says, beware of the supplication of the oppressed, even if he's an unbeliever. If you're not a Muslim and you're being oppressed and you make dua, for there is nothing that blocks the dua of the oppressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the dua of the oppressed person, even if he's a non-Muslim. So we never ever want that on our hands. We never ever want to be the oppressor, the tyrant, even if it's against, especially if it's against a non-Muslim. Beware of beware the tears of the orphans and the supplication of the wrong person, because there's no hijab between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the Quran, the message is clear. You look at the tyrants, you look at those, Allah had given them respite, and eventually the dua of the oppressed won out in Allah's time. But there's never a story, an example, not one example, whether it's Ad or Thamud or Fir'aun or Quraysh, there's never an example where the oppressor survives. Eventually the dua of the oppressed. People say, you're only mentioning dua. That is the weapon that is eventually going to destroy the oppressor. Eventually the dua, Allah will take retribution. So we ask anyone in this conflict, when you're listening to videos, watching things, becoming excited, becoming sad, becoming anxious, take a step out even of your views, your politics, even sometimes of your religious echo chamber, and listen to your conscience. Allah has placed something called a fitrah inside of all of us, a natural disposition, a natural compass that tells you what is right and wrong. For example, you must ask yourself, and many of you perhaps are in debates with colleagues who see the other side and support the other side, and they will say, no, but these are our people, or this is my religion, or they are the chosen people. You say, leave that for a moment. Let's leave and ask yourself this question. How would you feel? How would I feel if I was in that situation? How would I feel? And this is even many of the older generation can resonate. In apartheid, when the church was saying that this is allowed by God, that you are the chosen people, apartheid is a system that God loves, you ask, how would you feel if you're not allowed to walk on the side of a road, you couldn't go to a certain university, you had to be dehumanized? How would you feel if bombs were falling on you? Or if your home that you were living in your whole life was taken? Leave the politics and justification. How would you feel if that happened? If the Khoisan rocked up to your house and said, you know what, brother, this is my house because I have a title deed from God that gave it to me, you please need to leave. How would you feel? How do I want to live? How do you want your children to live? What are the rights? You want your children to be safe. You want to eat food and live peacefully. Does another group of people, don't they have the right to do that as well? What you wish to happen to others, wish for yourself. And you know, one scholar said, you know what, all the political analysts and all the scholars and all the imams and all the rabbis, let us all keep quiet and we take 2 pictures, one of Gaza and one of Israel, and you put it in front of kindergarten children who have no bias, children, and you ask them who's right and who's wrong. No politics, no religion, no bias, no YouTubes, just simply a child on their fitrah. Which side is the good guy? Which side is the bad guy? And you will see what children will say. They're not corrupted by propaganda. So lead with your humanity. And as Muslims, as we said, we go when it comes to justice, we should see beyond our own religion, our own Muslims, our own justice is what is right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when he grew up, before he became a Nabi, there was a man who was oppressed by the Quraysh. He was cheated out of his money. And so the good people of Quraysh stood up and they said, we need to form a group that we will stand against oppression. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as a teenager, I joined that league, the league of the just men. And then he became a Nabi. And he, you know, the whole seerah happens and he comes back to Mecca. And he said, I still consider myself part of this organization. Even though they were non-Muslims, they were Quraysh's idol worshippers. But if they call the meeting now, we're going to stand against injustice, I will be there first. I will stand for it. Allah says to us, and I end for this ayah, we should always be better. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةَ وَالسَّيِّئَةَ. Good and bad are not equal. ادفع بِالَّتِي هِيَ أحسن. Respond to evil with what is better. And inshallah, if you do that, you would find that that would be the means by which people who are very sincere but they are misguided, they will come close to us and they would learn. So we make dua for the oppressed people in the world. We ask Allah to protect our humanity and all of humanity. And may Allah grant victory to the oppressed. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi wa sallam ursaleen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.